in these days now when we are in the octave and don't have a special feast, we have these readings, the first reading from the first letter of John, which is teaching on the incarnation and the way to come to really understand, to really know, to really experience the mystery of the incarnation. That's what John is writing about. The gospel, interestingly enough, because of just the way the days happen to fall, is the same as yesterday's, which is so replete with mysteries. I mean, the mother of this child, who is God, comes to present him to the Father. Isn't that amazing? And then this great holy old man was there. And he took this child and he saw. This is the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit had promised him, you won't die until you see the Messiah of the Lord. And so he calls this child and he says, all right now, Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. My own eyes have seen the salvation. One of the things we get from that is intimacy. Why did God love this man so much that he told him, you're going to see the Messiah before you die? What kind of love and intimacy was between God the Father and this man that he would know that? And what kind of grace of the Holy Spirit, who's mentioned so many times in this text, the Holy Spirit was upon him, he was told by the Holy Spirit, you know. So the Holy Spirit enlightened him. There he is. And then he prophesied. And all of this is just taking place in the temple. Some people around would see, oh, that's that holy man. He's prophesying over this child. That's nice, you know. They'd be much more used to that type of thing than we are. I mean, somebody's tried that in any most Christian churches. They would attract quite a bit of attention, don't you think? I can remember standing on a street corner. I've told you this story before. Standing on a street corner with a young couple, French couple, in the community of Le Beatitude. And the girl had in a kind of a wicker basket her baby. And she put it down on the sidewalk. We're waiting for the light to change. And two Arab women came to stand next to them. And they saw this child. And they just raised their hands and started to praise God right there on the street corner, waiting for the light to change. Life. I was amazed, you know. Now, John is starting to teach us how to get in on, how to experience, how to know the mystery of the incarnation. In this way, we may be sure that we know Jesus. Know him. Isn't that the whole point of the whole renewal? To know him. And then to come to love him and want to do just what he wants. Isn't that the whole Christian life? Whoever says, see, the way to know him is to keep his commandments. Oh, I thought there was going to be a method. Sit on the floor, breathe deep, you know, cut your carrots at 45 degree angle or something. No, no. Just do what he tells you. Oh, boy. That's not so much fun. Sometimes it isn't. But the goal is inexpressible delight already in this life. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is really perfected in such a one, reaches its goal. And this is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to abide in him must walk the way he walked. Now, walk, as you know, because it's a biblical phrase, a Hebrew phrase, halak. You ever heard of a halakha? You can get to heaven without it, but I mean, halakha are all the moral commandments. That's just how you walk. Halak, in Hebrew, halak means to walk. And so how do you walk? It means how do you live your life? To walk as he walked. Well, how did he walk? How am I going to know that? The Holy Spirit will make us aware that you don't live. Christ lives in you. And if you will yield to that movement, you will walk as he walked, and you will know him, and you will know his salvation. It's that simple. It says in John 14:21, "The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me." Just like here. "And he will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him." Oh, there it is. Knowing him. How do we get to know him? Well, you take a course, Theology 206 or something. No. You do what he tells you, and he will make himself known. That's a promise. Well, you know, I mean, I've read canon law. I do the best I can with that. And yeah, no. That's great. Yeah, of course. And keep all the stuff in the Bible. But the stuff in the Bible will start to come alive to you when Jesus talks to you through his Holy Spirit. Do that. And you will know him. Because he will show himself to you. That's the only way you can get to know him. He's not the result of a mathematical formula. Now I got it, bingo. Not the result of a lot of our religious practices, as important as they are. They are the result of a direct, personal manifestation of Jesus to you. That's why he gives us all these commands. If you wanted to win the Olympics, you had a coach, you would do what that fella tells you to do. Just so you can win a cup. And our coach is Jesus. And he's coaching us all day long. Every day. Get out of bed and pray. Forgive that person. Stop now and pray for this person. Keep your eyes to yourself. Whatever. All day long. Because he loves us. And he wants to show himself to us. More than anything else. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him to cause a stumble. That's the clue. So when I wonder what Jesus is saying, well, love. Well, love who? I'm riding on the bus. Love the guy next to you. Start praying for him. Love. There's a story told about St. John the Apostle. At the end of his life, he was saying, "Little children, love each other." And can't you tell us anything else? We get tired. Every time we come to talk to you, all you say is, "Little children, love each other." Can't you say anything else? And he said, "In that is all of the gospel and all of wisdom."